Hello, my friend. This is Clyde, the forever kingdom. Matthew 6 and verse 13 says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let me tell you from now that we are venturing into a territory that is rife with controversy, but we will be as straight as the Holy Spirit leads us. The focus of our chat is the last line of what we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." If there is a kingdom, there has to be a king. If Jesus is talking about a kingdom that will be forever, then we need to trace the scriptures to hear what it says. Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7 is considered one of the clearest prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and in fact was written as long ago as 740 BC. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The Messiah who was to come will be a ruler of a kingdom of which there will be no end from that time forward, even forever. Pay attention to that. Later, when the angel Gabriel visited the virgin, as recorded in Luke 1, the angel told her that she was going to have a son, and he shall be called Jesus. The angel also said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This sounds somewhat like what Isaiah said, doesn't it? But then later on we hear his cousin John the Baptist announcing in Matthew 3 and verse 2, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And interestingly enough, Jesus said the same thing at the start of his own ministry. In Matthew 4 verse 17, we hear him say, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now, we come to what we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew 6. The first portion of the prayer says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Many of us learned that prayer from childhood, and I'm sure that we have hardly ever stopped to think about the section of that prayer. But Jesus was deliberate in saying that because he was living out the truth that was prophesied by Isaiah and spoken of by the angel Gabriel to his mother. If there is a kingdom, then there has to be a king with power. Well, when Jesus came back from the grave, he said the following in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And later on in Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11, we read, "God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." These two passages, my friend, make it clear that the resurrected Jesus has been elevated to a very high position. I want to suggest that given what these two passages say, that it sounds as if Jesus has now become a man of ultimate power and authority, and that he commands honor from everyone, both willingly or unwillingly. I hope you're keeping up with me so far. Now let us jump back over to Psalm 24. For a long time, I was fascinated with the lyrics of this psalm until it became clear to me that it is a prophecy about when Jesus returned to heaven, having fulfilled his earthly mission. Listen to the drama that unfolded. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Oh, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. When he entered into heaven, my friend, he was heralded as a king, a victorious king, a king of a great kingdom. My final reference brings us to the end of the journey of seeking to understand the text, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." You have probably heard this majestic classical music, the Hallelujah Chorus, written by Handel. It is often sung on Easter, but it is relevant all year round. In that beautiful piece of music are words from Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." My friend, there is no controversy. The Bible teaches us very clearly that there is a kingdom that is vast, powerful, ruled by a supreme leader who is unquestionably omnipotent. This king has amassed all those people who have declared him as Lord of their lives, and they will form the great celebrating population of those who will declare Jesus as the one and only king. And they will be able to say, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.